love Might Delete Later.
I bloody hope you do. You can support our show by using the new Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment.
Just smash that link in the show description and support us now so we can keep making this podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Might Delete Later with me, Stevie Martin, a person who feels social media is like when you sneeze and then it goes away and then you're like, what's happening? And you feel very sad and confused.
And me, Gina Martin, who feels like it's like a giant heady sneeze that like sort of clears out your nose and it feels like, and then you reset your whole body.
Our guest today is my favourite comedian at the moment. He's absolutely excellent. During lockdown, he's basically, I don't know if you've heard of the platform Twitch. He explains what he does on there when we record the episode, but it's a platform that is basically for gamers, ostensibly, for years and years and years, and now he's made it sort of like a comedy platform. His name's Bill Alzaffer, and he's stand-up, but he's also just like smashing it on the online vibe land.
He's so brilliant. You can watch it on twitch.tv/Zaffercakes, and you can follow him on Twitter and Insta at Zaffercakes. Just really just Zaffercakes across the board, basically.
It's a strong brand. He also, like, he's a, you know, a proper good comedian as well, so once all the live stuff kicks off again and we can all go and see comedy, go and see him. He got nominated for Edinburgh Fringe Best Newcomer in 2016. He's like been on stuff, he's written things for things, and it's a very well researched intro, so I don't know why you're shaking your head.
This episode was so fun because Bilal just kind of like messes with people on Twitter who are rude to him and sort of laughs about it, and he has a very good outlook on it. And also I think it's really interesting to talk about Twitch because we actually never ever talk about a different platform but Instagram and Twitter, and I think it's probably going to take over the world.
So before we start, Gina, what's in your drafts this week?
Well, in my drafts this week is the fact that I was shadow banned from Instagram, and what's I'm that- fine with it.
What does shadow ban mean?
So shadow ban means that when like in a platform, like I think it only really happens on Instagram, but basically what they do is they restrict your content so that anyone who doesn't follow you can't really find you. So for instance, if I typed in at Stevie M, yes, it's a five, you wouldn't come up on the list of people until I typed in the entire name. And then also it demotes your content. So I used to get like thousands of likes and everything, and my engagement has soared recently and my followers have soared. And then the first post I post back got about 100 likes, and you can see that
that's
it's not reaching
average.
Anyone. Yeah, but for 5,000 followers, that's not great engagement. But yeah, so there's just a real big dip, and it's basically hiding you because you've posted something that they would say is violating community guidelines.
How did you violate community guidelines, Gina?
Well, that's a great question, Stevie. Thank you. I'll tell you. And the problem is I didn't. A friend of mine called Naomi, she's at Curvy Naomi on Instagram. Naomi with a Y. She posted a photograph that she had taken at a shoot with Alex Cameron, who's one of my favourite photographers. We've both been shot by Alex Cameron. She's amazing. She does confidence shoots. She makes me feel so comfortable and she's so brilliant. She's an amazing photographer anyway. She shot everyone you've probably seen on Instagram. But Naomi did a shoot with her. This beautiful photo of Naomi on a stool, wrapping her arms around her body, over her breast. You can't see anything. There's no nipple on show.
No clip.
No, and it got taken down by Instagram for sexual explicit content, and that kept happening 5 days. Naomi was shouting about it. Naomi has a big platform. So does Alex. And then the other day, I was like, this is enough. Like, it's been 4 days. So I posted like, hey, everyone, let's flood Instagram with these pictures of Naomi, because they're not against community guidelines, but they're just censoring women who are black and exist in bigger bodies, a plus size, because there's a million photos of thin white women on Instagram. Playboy's Instagram is full frontal nude photos. And obviously Naomi's is the most beautiful artistic photo. So we flooded Instagram with those photos. We started the hashtag I want to see Naomi, and Instagram obviously realized a lot of that content was coming from my account and they've shadow banned me. And honestly, like, I heard a lot about shadow banning before and I was like, that would suck because I get, you know, it's a big part of my job, Instagram. I don't care. Like, it's just an Instagram account. And I see it as really petty and stupid. It's like, you're going to shadow ban me for sharing a picture of a beautiful woman on a stool.
You'll get it back as well, because they'll have to do something about this. Also, because I put it up in support and they didn't take mine down. They're taking down loads of them though. And I don't know if they've stopped doing that, but
it's weird. It's like that's the weird thing is that you're verified, I'm verified. What I noticed was a lot of the people they're not removing the pictures from are white people. Because they've never talked about controversial issues on their Instagram before. But all my friends who talk about racism all the time, they put it up, gone within seconds with no notification. It's ridiculous. What's in your drafts today, and is it to do with shadow banning?
It's not to do with shadow banning, but it is to do with battling some shadows. Okay, so someone tweeted me the other day. Look, I don't even care. His name's Philip. I don't know him. Out of nowhere, may I add, this is his tweet. All throughout my feed, it tells me what you've liked. You like some choice in apostrophes, and then when he's like put a strike through the word shit stuff. Right. But I literally did not know how to even react. I was like, I don't understand why, like, that's how Twitter works. And also, like, nobody has told you to follow me.
Thank you for your unsolicited opinion on my content, Phil.
The whole thing's so weird. And my boyfriend immediately was like, oh, he's negging you. He's doing a thing that, like, because I don't know if anyone listening has read the game, the Pickup Artist Manual. But I haven't. But I read it a bit and I got so angry I had to stop. I was eating too many crisps and I couldn't like balance it because I was so angrily eating crisps. Anyway, point was, is that negging is this thing where you do in a group of people, and if you like it's always men with women because they're like, women love
well, being it's like misogyny.
Yes. And you are supposed to say something that's sort of like backhanded compliment, not nice, something that makes them feel a little bit uncomfortable or not like state, like a little bit like, whoa, what's going on? So that then when your next thing is nice, they sort of imprint upon you like a baby dinosaur. That's essentially the vibe. And I thought my reply was really like sarcastic and like, but actually now I read it back, it looks like I'm really upset. So it was like, okay, sorry you don't like stuff I like. Three question marks and then an exclamation mark. And what I meant, it meant to be like this. Okay, sorry you don't like stuff I like, but it doesn't sound like that. I'll read like that. And then he put back, ha, no, it's great. And then like a smiley face with those little hands.
Oh, that, like, God, hugging you. Shut up, Philip. Great.
Firstly, thank you so much for doing our podcast, Bill Out.
So exciting.
Thank you for having me.
So every week we like to do a feature about whether we would delete things. Gina, I'll ask you first. What would you like to delete this week?
I'd like to delete the infestation of rats in my patio. I have a hole that has opened up in my patio and a family of rats have made their home under my patio.
Nice.
We've spent the last 4 days on rat watch trying to get them down the hole to concrete up the hole. So that's what I'd like to delete this week.
Yeah, they're quite scary.
They're not great, but you know, that's what I'd like to delete this week.
That's very good. Bilal, what would you like to delete this week?
Not rats, different thing. Anonymity online.
Oh, okay.
In terms of social media and stuff like Twitch and things, because you'll always have the worst people saying stuff with no consequences, basically.
That's a great one.
You know, I get that it wouldn't ever actually happen, but like, I feel like there'd be so much less trouble online because so much of it is people making, you know, anonymous accounts saying awful stuff that they'd never say.
I think that's a good one. Yeah, I think some level of verification would be good. Mm.
Do you get a lot of that?
I have done before, not recently, but I don't really argue on Twitter and stuff anymore like I used to. And I used to sort of purposely wind people up. But get a lot. Yeah. And if you got any press, basically, so when I did little articles and stuff about like fasting and things, which I'm not really interested in writing about now, but when I was sort of very new to comedy, I got asked to write random little bits about being Muslim for like The Independent or whatever, and I'd get loads of abuse online. But it was never someone who has a proper name or face.
No.
It's a dog.
Like Stevie says, they're just a Twitter egg.
A Twitter egg.
And then it's very galling because I'm like an egg. An egg.
And then eggs actually giving me shit, and that's upsetting. Stevie, what would you like to delete this week?
I can't sleep, ever. And I got some... someone was like, oh, you need to buy magnesium sulfate.
That was me.
Okay. Was it?
I think it was. Yeah, I was like, buy magnesium, it'll help you sleep.
You gave me a hormone or something, melatonin.
Sorry.
Melatonin.
Mm. Yes.
I tried melatonin actually at the Edinburgh Festival 2019, and I can't really remember if it worked. I don't think it did, but I liked the vibe, so I just kept going.
Right.
Well, then someone else was like, this magnesium sulfate is really, really good, because apparently, like, insomnia is like, everyone's got a great reason for everything, you know, like, apparently a melatonin imbalance does give you insomnia. Fine. Mine's not that. Mine's my brain. So unless you can take my brain out, put another brain in, I can do anything. But I spent like £17 on a massive thing of magnesium sulfate, and it doesn't do anything.
Oh, that's rubbish.
I can't sleep.
Yeah, but we're going to get onto that because I have a feeling that it's got something to do with your twitch, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, tell us about your just general relationship with social media now. Like, how do you use it?
It's a lot better for me now than it has been in the past. Right now, I pretty much just use it to promote stuff or to be silly and retweet the odd thing that seems important. I used to use it in a way where I was like looking at it constantly, probably addicted to Twitter. I probably still am a little bit, kicking off with people online, people that are saying stupid stuff. You know.
Was that to generate material?
No.
Stand-up shows? Or were you just like...
I don't know. You just see something. It's just that thing of Twitter, isn't it? Where something's trending, like Nigel Farage or Katie Hopkins or something. And you'll see someone saying something dumb and then you'll slam them, but then it will just keep going and people will, and it will just be a thing. And a lot of people still, I know, do that on Twitter. I was a lot younger when this, you know, I feel a bit more mature now, I guess, but I don't sort of get into that now unless I feel I really have to say something. It's just stupid, isn't it, arguing online?
It's futile. And also, you used to be, you're obviously on Twitter, but then you started Twitch fairly recently, and I think for anyone listening that has never heard of Twitch before, can you give some context as to what it is and what you do on Twitch?
Sure. So Twitch, I guess the best way to describe it is like watching YouTube, but it's live, sort of. And it's generally, it's a website made for live streaming games. So you'll have a lot of people playing all sorts of games. And their head is usually like in the corner of the screen and they're just sort of talking over the top. That's become a thing that people absolutely love, which can't get into explaining why, because, like, you know, my mum doesn't understand. But what I do is that I had a go at doing some of that stuff and I got a bit bored. So I created a thing where I play football matches on a game from 2005, Pro Evolution Soccer 5, and I play the character of the football manager. So I wear a suit, even in this weather.
Yeah, no,
top
that.
Half. I wear shorts on. But that's
oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, I play the character of a football manager. So we have team talks, meetings. It's become a whole ridiculous. I'd say the way to describe what I do now is like a. It's like an improvised interactive comedy show. Sort of.
And it's so good.
Oh, it's also not just for people. So if you're listening, you're like, I don't really know about football. Like, it's not like they went on Family Fortunes the other week.
Yeah,
like, team bonding. And also, one of the players is like possessed by Satan. Like, it's very.
It's so surreal and so silly. And also, like, it's so interesting to me because meme culture and just even the visuals of meme culture and the kind of like how you can like slap something together fairly quickly and it doesn't have to look polished or like high production value, like that's the joy of it, is that it's done quickly and it's interesting and funny and you never know where it's going to go. I've loved seeing like comedians on there on Twitch because with the situation we're in now, it must have been weird to try and have to adapt to doing stuff online and not getting any feedback or whatever when you're doing it on Twitter or anything.
It was weird. So like the start of lockdown was really tough for me. I think I know it has been for loads of people, but I imagine a lot of comedians were in the same situation where I was properly having like panic attacks at the start because I was meant to do the Edinburgh Fringe this year and I was going to do something a bit different and I was doing a paid venue for the first time. So it's going to be quite a big year. That was the plan. And then literally overnight, it just all vanished. Mm. And I was like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. And then, I just thought I'd give this a go and it wasn't planned at all. I think I was a bit of a snob, to be honest, towards online stuff. You know what I mean? Because I was so proud of doing stuff live that I can be on stage. I'd look at YouTube. I'd kind of look down on YouTubers and stuff. Mm. And I thought Twitch was the same, but it's a bit different because it is live. And yeah, it's different because you don't get, obviously you don't get laughs back, but the chat becomes the audience. And obviously over time you just kind of adapt to it. But yeah, it's fun.
Did you enjoy Twitter? I mean, you sort of have touched on this, but did you enjoy Twitter before Twitch? Like, even though, you know, you look back and like, oh, I wouldn't do that sort of stuff now. Like at the time, were you like having fun on Twitter? Because it seems like now you've kind of created what, I think in the episode where we spoke to Andy Murray, like same sort of thing. Like you've created a community of people that all like the stuff that you like and all kind of, it's like you're all just like having a great time with your friends on Twitter now.
Yeah, it's weird as well with Twitter, isn't it? Because you're pretending like you don't want retweets when you're on there.
You're definitely
for it. But that's all, it is, isn't it? The whole point is to just show off how great and funny you are. And like before, so it's been a bit weird for me. So in 2016, I got an Edinburgh nomination thing, which is like very good PR for a comedian, but that's kind of it. So I had like nothing else really going on for a while. So I got all these Twitter followers suddenly. Not that I had like 4,000. I mean, that's still good, but like they weren't really that active. So I could, whatever I was tweeting, it wasn't really getting much attention. So that didn't feel great. And then now suddenly any nonsense I say gets a lot of...
It's incredible. Like this, the amount of people, like you'll say something and then they'll just add on to your joke and add on to it. And then they'll create content for you, like around Pez United, which is obviously your team on Twitch. Like the world it's created. I don't think people quite understand. It's like everything from like what they drink, like how they dress, like the edits that cut down are like the montages you see on like the Premier League. Like it's so
People are editing loads of videos and stuff. It's insane. The stuff, animating stuff. And it's weird because I've made the thing, what I've done is, and like it wasn't intentional, but I've got all these catchphrases and all this stupid stuff now that it's like I am the football manager on Twitter pretty much. And everyone replying is in character as my assistant managers, which is so much nicer than what Twitter used to be, which was just having to see loads of like racism, you know, and like I get really annoyed when someone does a crap tweet that gets loads of attention.
Oh my God, yes.
Which is always.
Have you ever gone out with someone and they dump you, lol, and it's like 500,000? Like,
oh my God, yeah, literally that.
Yeah, I have. And also as well, someone, I felt quite attacked because somebody, someone very that I respect and is very cool, said something like, oh, I think it was Limmy, who I think is excellent. He said like, do you know that it's actually so much harder to take off the auto caps lock? So to make it look like you've...
Oh,
like,
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
That's because, what I thought when I saw it. I thought about you. Yeah. I was like, I bet Stevie's going to be well upset by this one.
I wasn't upset, but I'm just like, yeah, because it just, again, it showed what, from my perspective, all I'd done is gone like, oh, my tweets do better when they don't have a capital letter at the start.
It looks better.
What does that mean? But it's, I suppose it's that thing of just being like, oh, I just sort of like toss this one off. Okay. Sorry. Rather than I've had it in the tool grass for a year and I've been like editing it and then it's like ready to go out in the world because that's lame. But then when he said that, I was like, oh, yes, again, my reasons for doing it are completely different. I'm doing it because I want people to like me and think that I didn't try very hard.
Yeah. But isn't that why we all do it?
Yes, yeah, sort of thing. True.
All of that shit.
It's still, self-loathing is there.
Something I should have said before about my relationship with social media is that I find it quite weird because like with Instagram and stuff, I've never been very good at it because I don't usually like my face that much. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not very good at, it's weird as well with Twitch now. Suddenly I don't care about filming myself as much as I did. But before, you can even see, I might have deleted them, but when I had to do little like tour show promo videos and stuff, I look so uncomfortable.
It's weird that, isn't it? You just get so comfortable the more you do it.
Yeah.
You know, on Instagram, you don't have to just put up pictures of your face. You could put up pictures of like...
grass.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, your best post. This took me about 3 goes because I'm stupid, and then really laughed when me and Gina were like, it's because you think he's going to say that. Okay, it's December 9th, 2019, so nearly a Christmas tweet. Monday joke for you. My friend Gav died of indigestion. I can't believe Gav is dead. Because you think he's going to say Gav is gone. That's the joke, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I just picked that. I don't think it's my best tweet ever necessarily, but I like it because I think Twitter should be more stupid and people should be more kind of silly on it. And I really like that tweet because of the amount of people that tried to correct me. And I did it again. I don't know. I used to do this a lot where I was just bored where I'm not sure why I did this joke, but I would pick someone who's specifically not English and I do quite a long tweet about them. Like, they tell it like it is. They know what's what, blah, blah, blah. And best of all, he's English, about like a Scottish guy. And the amount of people, I did it about Lorraine Kelly. That's it. And best of all, she's English right at the end. The amount of people that correct you, I just find that so funny. Like, it's so clearly a joke. I don't know what it is. It's just people get wound up so easily and take things so seriously on Twitter. Like, yeah, I'd always do at the end of the tweet where best of all, he or she is English, I'd do a little British flag with the muscle flexing emoji.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Yeah.
You just got the National Front coming in.
I think it's so much nicer to see, to have a, I feel like this whenever we do the podcast and people are like optimistic about things that I'm like, I hate that, because it's just all about like perspective, and it's so much nicer to see that as just funny, because it is funny, but it's just, I guess, gets so, also I suppose actually, Gina, the ones that I get frustrated at are when like I've actually said something serious, because I never say anything serious, and I've actually done like something about men abusing women in comedy, for example, and then there's loads of men being like, actually I don't think this is bad, and you're like, you've just outed yourself, mate, like what are you talking?
That's
frustrating. And also I suppose as well there's an added element where it tends to be, to be honest, actually I don't know, because it tends to be guys across the board anyway, but for some reason when it's a guy telling you why your joke, like explaining your joke to you, it becomes like, oh fuck, it becomes like a gendered thing, when actually it's the men are doing that to all of the men as well. They're just going around trying to explain from Jason. So I suppose I get a bit like prickly about it, just because there's been, after shows and stuff, I used to have guys coming over and being like, yeah, it would be fun, like, well, like it'd be funny, but you should probably not wear lipstick on stage, and like all that. So I get really like, when guys try and scrub a joke,
you've had too much of it, so it becomes your reaction is bigger because of the compounding effect.
No, but that's fair enough.
Yeah, but I want to see it as fun now and be like,
like, just do that. Just do that. Just go.
But you're making. But if you do, like you say, you do a serious tweet, and if anyone is annoying, yeah, I get annoyed at people if they. I've not done a serious tweet for a while, I don't think.
No, I think I've done one in my whole life.
In your whole life, yeah, but yeah, I think you should do some where you purposely get stuff wrong just to see happens.
That'd be fun. I want to see that.
And then double down. That's what I do. When people are like Lorraine Kelly, like one, she's Scottish. Two, da da da, like a long list. And I'd say, and I'd just quote tweet them back and like correct each point and be like, well, I know her personally. She is English. and I'm clearly, and it says I'm a comedian on my thing.
But it's that gut reaction thing. That's what Twitter is. People don't, the amount of times as well that I've seen someone's written an article and then someone's been like, I have actually a bone to pick with this. I haven't read the article, but I'd be like, what are you doing?
That's
like,
bonkers.
What are you doing? Yeah. That's my favorite / worst thing, I suppose.
No, it's very annoying, Twitter. I remember seeing a thing, I don't know if I read it or what, but about how Instagram is considered the worst for mental health. Obviously, it depends how you use it. I guess you get the whole body image thing with Instagram and stuff. But for me, Twitter has been awful, like, at points.
I find it harder for my head, Twitter.
Yeah.
I feel like if you create a community, I don't know if this is true or not, this is, you know, just an opinion. Share an opinion here. But, like, if I've created a community on Instagram and it feels like that community is harder, that bubble is harder to pop, and way less often a load of random people come in and just upset everyone. Whereas on Twitter, if I whisper the word trans, I get absolutely piled on by people who don't believe trans people should have human rights. Whereas that just doesn't happen to me on Instagram. It's almost like the algorithm or the way the platform works makes it way harder for me to create a community of like supportive people on Twitter. Whereas on Instagram, it kind of just stays as it is.
But also on Twitter, people search for words. So there's people searching for trans to just kick off with everyone.
That's so
it's
true.
So weird.
Didn't even think of that.
How shouldn't that be in your life?
Right. So your first tweet, basically you were tweeting loads of comedians and sort of saying nice supportive things. A lot of people who start their first tweet, and when we find their first tweet and they're on this podcast, they're often saying things like, hello, Twitter, here I am, or they're trying to tweet something. Whereas you, it was literally like, you're like, hello, can I come to your party? I'm here now. And so your first tweet was to Ray Peacock, who is a comedian. And it says, and you say, please do another tweet and then another at me and I will have got your 10,000th tweet.
So that was 2012.
He did that.
I would have been in my second year of uni at the time.
My favourite one is the third one you did, which is you tweeted, Ed, can you help me get some followers? I have six. I'm a lovely bloke.
Was that to Ed Gamble?
It was.
I remember doing it. So I think I was doing that in the tone that their podcast was in. Do you know what I mean? I used to really like their podcast when I was, they stopped doing it. Okay, that's not too bad though. As first
not
tweet.
At all. You're just like a lovely fan boy, you know? That's what you come off like. Do you remember getting your first Twitter account? Do you remember like why you went on Twitter? Was it a thing like, oh, I should do it because everyone else is doing it? Or like,
yeah, it was something I should do it. It was, so what was it like then? It was very different when I joined. So I didn't join at the very beginning of Twitter, but I'm sure that when I joined, it was a lot more fun. It was a lot of people just doing one-liners.
Yes.
Not like what it is now.
Yeah.
I just thought join it and have a go. And also, I don't remember if, 2012, I think I might have been just about getting into stand-up. And I thought that's a good way to try and promote gigs and meet people and stuff.
Absolutely. Yes, great.
Networking.
On that point, though, your next tweet, which is your worst post that you picked, was just won the stand-up competition in the Liverpool Rawhide Raw Club. So don't worry about me, Kiss.
Don't worry about me.
Why don't you like this tweet?
Yeah.
So it's partly because it's a bit of a lie.
Oh.
Because...
You didn't win.
Well, this is the thing. It was like, there was one of those like gong show type gigs in Liverpool. So I was living in Bolton at the time for uni. And I used to travel around the Northwest to gig quite a lot, just like open mics. And this gig, there was like, I don't think there was an audience. I can't remember. It was like one or two people. And it might have been like four comedians won. Do you know what I mean?
I
was like, I wonder, worry about me.
But at the time, it's like, I'll take it.
Yeah. But it's just that thing of, it just reminds me, that tweet, of how much you're trying to impress everyone all the time. And especially when you start stand up and there's all these other comedians, you're like, I just want a competition kind of thing. And it's just, it makes me cringe. Like I realized, like at the Edinburgh Fringe, I remember that my first year went very, very well. Like I got very lucky with stuff. So I was selling a lot of tickets and stuff. And I think it was, I can't remember a show before or after me or whatever that was, they were struggling a little bit. And then that's when I realized that I don't need to tweet about selling out because I don't need to promote my show if it's sold out. And also I'm just going to make other comedians feel bad, which definitely enough comedians don't think like that because it's just, especially around Edinburgh time, it's just bragging, which is fine to promote stuff. But sometimes it's like, come on, you didn't need to do that brag.
But your show was about, I've just realized as well, show was about social media because your handle. So do you want to explain that? Because that's an excellent story. I know you've talked about it loads, but.
My Twitter handle is Zaffercakes. And what happened was, is that this thing, I think it was, I don't remember if it was trending, if it was very popular, but it was boycott Muslim businesses started to get loads of quite popular on Twitter. And my brother's on Twitter as well, and we find that kind of stuff quite funny. Like, we like, you know, we've done a lot of winding people up before. But he just tweeted, everyone boycott Zaffa Cakes. It's a cake shop in Bristol. It refuses to serve non-Muslims, with the hashtag boycott Muslims. And I was like, really, like, laughing. And then suddenly loads of tweets started actually pouring in. Because he had, like what we mentioned before, he had an anonymous kind of Twitter account. He had like a football account that he didn't really use much. So then people just assumed that, oh, this guy's telling the truth. And then that became the show. I just went along with it. And that was brilliant. Thanks. But it's weird because I feel like racism is way more mainstream now than it was when I did that show.
Did you still get that shit? When did it stop?
It was like a month. It was like a month of it.
Christ.
And it was really funny because even when it became clear that it wasn't real, people were still angry. But that was all, again, I think a bit like how I mentioned that Twitter is more fun now that I'm usually a football manager, sort of a character. It was weird because it was really funny because I was a cake shop owner in Bristol, where I hadn't even been. I'd never been there before, which was partly funny, what made it funnier. I think because of that, because they weren't attacking me, they were attacking a guy that doesn't exist. And I would purposely spell stuff wrong to make them think my English was bad, which was just really funny to me at the time. You know, all of that stuff. Whereas I think it must be really different if someone is just attacking you. Yeah. To be honest, now I'm a lot, not that I get loads of it, but if someone says something nasty, I just mute them.
Yes.
I don't.
It's really good. That's probably a way healthier way of dealing with it than engaging.
Thank you so much, Bilal. That was really fun.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
I love being on podcasts that I've listened to. And then your own name pops up in your...
Oh, that's joy. Yeah, that's joy. Like, you've subscribed and you wake up and it's your own name on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, what an absolute charming episode there.
I love him. I'm such a big fan. I was like a fangirl the whole time. He's so funny, and like, he's just his facial expressions, and he's just such a nice dude. I love that. Again, too much.
Yes. Please do follow Bilal. He's at Zaffa Cakes across the board, Twitter and Instagram, and also on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/Zaffa Cakes. Please do also follow us at Might Delete Later Pod on Instagram and Might Delete Pod on Twitter. Gina, hit me with the email.
The email is mightdeletelaterpod@gmail.com, and you can send us any guests you'd like to see on the podcast. And also, any funny first tweets, cringy Instagrams, anything you think we'd like to see.
Of yours, like, don't just like dob people in.
Oh yeah, don't just dob people in. Yeah, it's got to be your own. And also remember, social media can be fun. It can be exciting. It can be Instagram, Twitter, but it can also be Twitch.
But it can also be like, Philip, why are you necking me?
We'll see you next week. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.